Could the Cubs be in the market to acquire a former all-star third baseman that would quickly upgrade their roster? We get to some mailbag questions and best and worst of the week. Here we go.
Our Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into Locked On Cubs. Alongside Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy. Pleased to be with you for a Thursday episode. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Sam and I are lifelong fans, taking our passion into a discussion with you on all things Cubs. This is our final episode of this week, pending any breaking news. As we close out the week, Sam, and we're going to talk some baseball here.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get a chance to talk baseball, because off air, you just had one of the most intimidating sneezes I've ever heard, and I'm almost concerned about your well-being.
Yeah, maybe a little bit of allergies, although it shouldn't, because it's January.
It's winter time.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to get that checked out this weekend. So a really interesting idea that we're going to discuss that was initially spearheaded by Bryce from Iowa, who asked about upgrades at third. And of course, there's been some chatter on the interwebs, and even a name drop from The Athletic a couple weeks ago on Matt Chapman. 5 years with the A's, 1 year with the Blue Jays, Sam. This is an excellent third baseman. Got traded to the Jays prior to the 2022 season. Last year hit a slash line of 229, 324, 433 with a 757 OPS, but did hit 27 home runs and drove in 76 runs. Three-time Gold Glove winner, All-Star, and fifth in the MVP voting in 2019. Chapman's a free agent after 2023. The Blue Jays are trying to win. If they fall out of contention, I think he's definitely going to be traded in July. I think it's less likely that he would be traded this offseason. However, because he's going into his walk year, you're not sure what you could get in a July trade. Sure, there could be a bidding war, but the calendar is less so, and it's a little bit larger now. And if a team produces a good offer, which I'm going to propose later, perhaps – a trade could happen. Regardless, Sam, I think Chapman is a target for the Cubs, perhaps more likely next offseason in free agency, but this would be an immediate upgrade to the roster, and you would feel that much better about the team.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. But what's interesting about Chapman...
Well, it's not going to... It might not happen this winter.
Yeah, right. It might happen in the offseason. The second best defensive third baseman in baseball, and pretty much any other era he's first, but Arenado's playing. A brilliant defensive third baseman. I don't know if you've had a chance to watch the Blue Jays play. Watching him throw across the diamond, it's like watching you read an ad. I mean, it's art, it's poetry in motion. It's watching somebody in his natural habitat do what he was meant to do. I just don't see the Blue Jays parting ways with him in a window year, as I like to call them, you know, a year that they're going to be trying to win a championship. And I don't see the Cubs in a non-window year giving up serious assets for him and then having to sign him to an extension. I think if they were to pursue him, it would be just starting fresh with the free agent market. But I know that's not what sells. So why don't you propose me the deal, and bless you.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. Hope I don't sneeze on the air. So, you know, my thing with Chapman before I get to this proposal is, you know, and we're going to get to some overs and unders next week on an episode.
I didn't know that. That's breaking news to me.
Yeah. We're going to do an episode on wins, on total wins, over unders.
You know, do people have my phone number?
I hope not.
You know, I just realize in all areas of my life, work, the show, right, family, friends, nobody consults with me. Everybody just said, hey, they assume I know. Go ahead.
So we're going to do that coming up next week. But, you know, Chapman's a player, Sam, that that brings up the over-under total. Oh, I really believe that.
By a lot. By a lot.
I would venture to say that the Cubs would surpass the Brewers.
For sure.
In the preseason projection. And you're sniffing the Cardinals that much more.
Not only are you sniffing them, you're right in the room with them and maybe trying them.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a middle of the order bat, third base questions, extinguished.
I'm sorry to cut you off. If you we're playing the hypothetical game, which you know I loathe, but if you were able to add Matt Chapman, you have the best defensive infield in baseball.
It's comical.
And I don't even think it's particularly close. Getting a ground ball through there would be more challenging than anything I've ever seen.
Okay. Good punchline. So
you were laughing and then you threw me off. The whole show is off.
All right. So we're not gonna restart. So so literally when Tucker Barnhart would start, the Cubs would have a gold glover at all eight positions. Horner hasn't won the award, but folks,
Suzuki won the award in Japan?
Okay. So, it would be a lockdown defense, as it already is. I would say they have a lockdown defense.
Yeah.
But boy, oh boy, how about a gold glove defense?
Yeah, let's get to the proposal.
Put a medal on it. So the proposal includes one top pitching prospect and one top position prospect.
Mm.
I think that if you had to make a trade, you would have to blow the Blue Jays away. You'd have to overpay. I really, truly believe that. Then there's the glut of third basemen. There's Morel. There's Wisdom. There's McKinstry. There's Mastro.
Kevin Ori.
There's Madrigal. There's Aram. There's DeRosa. Yeah, Kevin Ori. And so to remove that glut, I think Patrick Wisdom would be heading north as well.
Mm.
Okay, so here's what I have for you. Baseball trade values, as our faces again get blocked on the screen. I'll have to think about the production of this program. Chapman to the Cubs for Owen Casey, Caleb Killian, and Patrick Wisdom. And you see the total value, that's median trade value, according to baseball trade values. It's actually a huge overpay. But you'd have to trade a couple top prospects. You have to. Are you there?
I'm right here.
Why don't you like projected trades?
No, because that trade is, of if you call them right now, you do that deal. If you're the Cubs, you're giving up. I mean, look,
you have to give players up.
No. But that's not enough.
Oh, you don't think it's enough?
I'm not even close. Killian, listen, I like Killian a lot. That's an exaggeration.
He's a top 15 guy.
Yeah, and so is Casey, and we're not even going to put Wisdom in there because, that's just a positional thing. That's not going to be enough for the Blue Jays to send a massive message to their fans of, hey, we're trading one of our better guys right before a huge season. Who are we getting back? A big league-ready, mediocre third baseman, and then two projects that we hope turns out to be good. It'd be like the Darvish deal for the Cubs. Remember how upset fans were before that?
Yeah. Well, interestingly, Casey was in that deal.
I think that's a type of deal. I think you made the correct point. If Toronto were to struggle and the Cubs were to play well heading into the deadline, maybe you do something like that. But I just don't see that happening. For me, you'd have to give up. For Matt Chapman, I guess he's got 1 year left, but you're talking about a much bigger fish.
And when he had 2 years left, the A's got four prospects from Toronto, and the top rated one is now ninth in the A's system. You know, Owen Casey's 10th in the Cubs system.
Yeah. Maybe I'm overrating Chapman a bit. I just think his defense is so special.
Well, it is.
And I just don't think Toronto. I just don't think Toronto would do that. But yeah, I guess at the end of the day, that I would probably add either one more guy or a higher level guy.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, I don't think it's going to happen regardless. So hopefully, and if it does, that'd be great. I'd celebrate it.
Let's keep our eye on it. And I think he's going to be a prime target regardless. If it's not now, if it's not July, then definitely.
Especially, November, Matt, and December. Especially if you continue this run prevention theme, which obviously they're doing. Because there's, like I said, Chapman, Swanson, and Horner, there is no better run prevention.
Oh, man, that's just when I hear it out loud again, it's just, it's,
I mean,
outstanding.
Matt Chapman is like a diet Arenado over there. And that's a compliment because defensively, Arenado is probably the best ever. I mean, he's won a gold glove every single year he's been in the league.
It's wild.
And Matt Chapman is something else over there. So, yeah, it's exciting stuff. And, you know.
Coming up next, we have a few questions from the mailbag as we keep this rolling along. Stay tuned. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online.
Bet Online.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every pro and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. They've got it all at BetOnline.net. I would share with you the Iowa Northwestern line, men's college hoops tonight, but that game got postponed. Jeez. They're the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, where the game starts. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen. Shout out to the YouTube viewers and the audio peeps, Apple, Spotify, Google, Odyssey, and a whole lot more. Okay, variety of comments and questions, Sam, and we are going to close this part of the show out with a discussion on a certain pitcher that's now a free agent. But before we get to that, I have this from Jackson in Mundelein, a local listener, Sam.
The Mustangs. Ryan Barucki's high school.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. What are the chances the Cubs, this is a 0-100. What are the chances the Cubs extend Horner and or Happ by opening day? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. I listen every day.
Great question. The and or part of that makes it interesting. I would say that's a great question. 0-100. I'd say 70 and or. If it was and, I'd say probably like 25. I don't think they're going to get both done, but I think one of them gets done. Which one? Horner would make more sense just based on their philosophy and where they're at. I just think Happ is looking for a really big payday, which I think will help the Cubs in 2023, because I think he's going to be locked in from day one. Is he a Boris guy?
Off the top of my head, he's not.
Let me see that. Yeah,
For whatever reason, the percentage is a lot smaller for me. Of course, I would love to see it. I mean, two would be dynamite. One would be excellent.
I don't think he is. Yeah.
But I think it's about 40%.
I think it's 70 that they get one done before opening day, because I think they want the perception to let people know, hey, we're not opposed of extending guys that we brought up. It's just the Contreras thing didn't make sense for us. Both of them, I would say much more likely. And or I'll say 70. Or and I'll say 25.
EJ from Iowa had a quick question here on the number of DFAs the Cubs are going through confuses me. Do you think people like Higgins, Rodriguez, and Leiter Jr. didn't have trade value? And I'll take this one, Sam.
Yeah, take it.
You know, for a roster that's packed, EJ, a trade is very unlikely, because the move has to be corresponding to whoever's added. And in the case of those three players, it was when the Cubs either signed a free agent, made that deal official, or picked up somebody off waivers. And so there has to be a move immediately. And a lot of times with these fringe players who are bordering on the roster or not, the choice is just to DFA. And then you have options, including a trade, over the next 7 days. But you don't really see that too often. Eric Uhlman actually was one of the rare times we did see it. The Phillies traded for him. They spent a little more than a waiver claim would be, as the order of teams goes down from, I guess that would be what, descending order of record. But, you know, those players at this stage, you know, a trade prior to a DFA would be very rare. And I'd be surprised in that 7-day window if anybody acquired them, although it did happen with Uhlman. Steve in Winter Haven, Florida, and Bill from Wisconsin, Sam, asked about Matt Mervis. Steve puts it like this: why not let the kids play? What are the question marks? Horner didn't get very much development time, and he's doing fine. Don't let the gold in the minors get tarnished while we watch the grizzled minors, M-I-N-E-R-S, still searching for the big strike. That's from Steve in Winter Haven. And then Bill in Wisconsin said, Jed is familiar with first base midseason call-ups, but with two results. Rizzo with the Padres in 2011, not MLB ready, sent back. Rizzo with the Cubs the next year, MLB ready, and the rest is history. So he wanted to point that out in terms of a Mervis blocker.
Yeah. I agree. I agree more with the first point. But
good points.
Yeah. We've gone there. So, you know, I agree. Right. There's nothing we could do. You know, you got to trust Jed. You know, I really don't think it's because Mervis isn't major league ready. I don't think that's what it is. I think it's, to your point yesterday, wanting to have at bats every single day. And then it's my counterpoint that he would have had at bats every single day if they didn't go to Hosmer. We know our take on this. So
it's so kind of a circle right now.
Yeah, it's a circle.
And, you know, what determines readiness as well is something to be zoomed in on. Of course, we got into that with him last week. Please check out the episode if you haven't yet. Finally, Brandon in Peoria. Hey, guys, I was wondering if there was a game over the summer that we could organize a Locked On Cubs meetup. I'd love to go to a game over the summer. I would love to schedule an event.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, let's. I'll start poking around at that. And I would like to do something the week of opening day as well.
We got to do we got to get some sort of meet and greet thing with our listeners for sure. Even if it's just outside a stadium or at a place, and we could even do like a live show.
Yeah, no, it'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And then one comment in the inbox officially, there's been a couple scattered. I know in our DMs and YouTube, but initially in the official inbox, it was Adam in Ohio that asked about the Cubs' potential pursuit of Trevor Bauer. The Tribune's Paul Sullivan reported last weekend that the Cubs are not interested in signing Bauer, who hasn't pitched since July 2021 after being suspended by MLB under the domestic violence and assault policy. He was reinstated by MLB last month. The Dodgers took their time making a decision and ultimately decided to release him. If signed, Bauer's new team is on the hook for only the minimum salary, which is now $720,000. What thoughts did you have on the Cubs' pursuit or not?
Yeah, I think there's two ways, Matt, to look at it. I think I've been asked about it a tad more than you, but we've been asked about it. And there's two perspectives of it. And I'll preface what I'm saying on it that I understand that this is one of those lightning rod 2023 situations. So I don't want to upset anybody one way or another. And I'm kind of a novice when it comes to this. I've read maybe a half a dozen pieces on it. From what I've read, here's what I'll say. From the Cubs' perspective, I am not surprised that this is what they decided to do. I do not think that this is one of those, as I tweeted out about a couple of weeks ago, this is one of those situations where you beat the table and say, Sam, this is another example of Jed not trying to win in 2023. That's not what this is, because this is an off-the-field issue. The New York Mets are in win-now mode. They've taken themselves out of Trevor Bauer. The New York Yankees as well. All 30 teams have the same, as you said, what was it, $720,000?
Yep.
So it's got nothing to do with flexing your money muscles. It's just, do you want to deal with the PR aspect of it? Now, the Cubs have proven in the past with the trading of Aroldis Chapman that, you know, he had issues at that time. And I had no issues with that trade. You're trying to win a World Series, first time in 108 years. And if I believe if the league and the law allows you to perform and play and you're the Cubs in that situation, would you rather go through them or have them on your side? So I'm not really sure why they got some heat for that. They didn't handle the Russell situation well, but overall from a Cubs perspective, I would say the juice isn't worth the squeeze. From an MLB perspective, just to give my two cents, because people have asked me to, And like I said, I haven't read much on it. I am slightly surprised that there's no rumor of him catching on with any team, just because of the Chapman example of, we have a history of this in MLB, NBA, NFL, of guys that serve their suspension, come back, and nobody bats an eye. And in Bauer's case, from what I've read, again, I've only read Rosenthal's piece. I've read a few pieces. From what I've read, he doesn't even have any, you know, legal situation that he's been, you know, that he's lost yet. But I think it's more, you know, that really doesn't have anything to do with the Cubs. I think with Bauer, what I think is they're looking for some sort of public acknowledgement from him. And he doesn't feel that he did anything wrong, so he's not going to. And because this is still an ongoing case, teams are just very hesitant to give him a chance. I still think before opening day, he's probably on a team. And if he's not, it'll be a story. I don't know if you have anything to add, but that's pretty much it. But from a Cubs perspective, which is what matters, don't beat him up over that. It's not their issue.
I think he's going to get signed in spring training late. And if that's what I think. If he doesn't, I don't think he'll ever be signed.
Yeah.
And I will say that from a baseball perspective, from my side of the glass as a coach myself, granted, Frosh Baseball.
Yeah. Hey,
there's been some comments about why don't you want to add an ace at 720K?
Right.
And just purely from baseball, because Sam just did an eloquent job at all the other stuff.
Yeah.
It's just false that he's an ace.
Yeah, because he hasn't pitched in a while.
You can't be an ace if you haven't pitched in the big leagues since July of 2021.
Now, can I counter?
Now, even with his 20 and 21 seasons, his career ERA is in the high threes. Right. That's not an ace.
Well, and that's the other thing with Bauer. A lot of people think that he became an ace from the sticky stuff.
Possible.
Which isn't there. But let me ask you this. If he goes 13-9 with a 3.55 at 720K, he's not an ace, but he's helping your team.
He's helping your team.
Right. So like the baseball thing is true. I agree with you. A lot of people are like, oh, well, this is the guy you're talking about, Sam. We're going to get a huge swing and miss guy. We don't know that. We do know that anybody in the league that adds him is getting an asset at that price. Because even if the guy totally stinks, you're paying him nothing. I mean, 720K is nothing. But 100%. Yeah, I agree. I think if he doesn't get signed at the end of spring training, he probably doesn't get signed. And knowing him, he's that will probably become a really big story.
We'll know about it.
Yeah, but that's not, that's neither here nor there. I don't think it's a huge deal that the Cubs didn't sign him. I wouldn't be upset at it. I am slightly surprised that it's this huge, like, we're not touching Bauer. But like I said, I talk about the Cubs for a job.
We'll see how it plays out the next couple of months. Coming up next, we have best and worst of the week to wrap up the week. Ugh. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Locked On Cubs. Thanks for making us your first listen every day. Best and worst of the week, Sam.
It's Wednesday for us right now.
Hopefully it's not multiple choice again for your worst. I know Bryce and I would like that line from last week.
Well, it's just you're asking a lot.
All right, here we go. So, my best of the week, I actually mentioned about coaching earlier in the show. Wanted to just give a shout out to the basketball team I'm helping out at the school I'm at. We are now 15-2 on the season, 9 games left. Very special group on the hardwood, enjoyable group to be around. And I'll keep you posted on the overall record in a few weeks' time.
Yeah, I still got to get out to a game.
Yes.
It's been a little busy on my end.
We started the game last night 17-0.
Wow. Who are you playing? Kindergartners?
Playing our rival.
Oh, nice. My best of the week.
Do you want to pass
it's just, the week's far from over.
All the behind the scenes with you. Let's go.
My best of the week's gotta be the Illini.
They're on a torrid pace.
Yeah, I said on the show a couple weeks ago, I thought they were going to right the ship. Underwood's really good with chaos. Hopefully they can continue winning and making
shots. I wonder why he's good with that.
Yeah, well, because he's kind of a nutty guy.
Okay.
You want me to go to worse? Because I got a few fresh.
Okay.
Well, I have a periodontist appointment tomorrow. if you're wondering what that is, it's a gum dentist. I was referred there. I was, yeah, you could laugh. I was referred there by my dentist because I've been having a lot of teeth pain and he thinks I have a pretty, you know, extended case of gingivitis. So, you know, I'm going to have to get some words.
I apologize for my laughing.
No, it's funny. It's funny what a joke I am.
No, I don't mean it like that.
No,
you're a good friend of mine.
I got to get some work done at the periodontist at my appointment tomorrow at 7:45 a.m.
And you haven't woke up that early since 2009, I believe.
No, I haven't woken up that early since 2012.
Look, I was 3 years off. Yeah. My worst of the week, Sam, is Twitter. Twitter has this For You page now. It's crap.
Okay.
I just want my feed of the people I follow chronological.
Yeah,
I don't
right.
need a For You page.
I agree. Yeah. So yeah, right. When you log on, it doesn't
they
tell
make
you
changes every 3 days.
It doesn't tell you who's just tweeted. It's like a tweet from a day ago that they think you may have liked.
Right. I got to tab over to the following tab
yeah,
now.
Right. Right. And I'll just add another worst to the week as no. I do the show and look.
You look nice.
It's winter and my skin tone is starting to get dangerously pale. It's always pale. It's always pale. But like just looking at myself with the camera, if you were to watch the show and say, hey, does that guy on the right, is he all there? I would understand that question. So it's been a rough week for me. And just glad Argentina won the World Cup and we're only a couple months away from opening day. Until then, who knows what could happen.
Right. We're going to be doing live shows after spring training games at this rate.
Man, would that be fun?
All right. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in this week. Another very fun week on the show. Please share a link to an episode of the week with somebody that you know as we continue to spread the word about the program here on Locked On Cubs. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you have not yet as we make the push to 3,000 subscribers. Smash the like button to help out the algorithm. And all your favorite content, Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your pods on the audio side. And thanks so much for making us your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB Prospects, where host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. He's Sam Olber, I'm Matt Cozy, and this is Locked On Cubs.